Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, Evil Ash. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror. The ones who didn't get to tell their tales. Now, they say jealousy is an ugly color, but everybody has it. Everybody. You see somebody and you're like, boy, I'd really like to be like that person. Or boy, I want what they have. If there was only some way to do it. Well, this week's guest informed me about a way that just might be a lot easier than you think. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. Before we start, I want to give a shout out to a new Patreon patron, Aaron Land. Thank you very much, Aaron. You're the best. And thanks for everybody else who's donated in the past and then the present and then potentially in the future. Normally, we get to do this in a little studio environment, but this is the first time we've ever been invited into somebody's home. Joining me this week is Muriel Montgomery. Hi, Muriel.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. Welcome to my house.
This is such a nice house. We've never had it this good.
Ooh, I really like that compliment. I appreciate that.
This place is great.
Hey, thanks.
There's some construction going on across the street.
I was very stressed. So if anybody hears little pops, it's like they just started re-roofing the building next door.
No better time than October 3rd to start re-roofing a house.
Moments before you came in.
You and I, we were just talking before we started doing this. Mm-hmm. Shared Chicago together for a little while.
I know.
I can't believe that, yeah.
I'm really excited about it. I was like, I know your name, and I thought that we had played in a show together, and I think we obviously haven't, but I was like really excited to see you.
Yeah, no, there's a chance that we might have. You and I were talking about, you know, sitting at the old I.O. and Just drinking.
That's a weird thing about L.A. Mm-hmm. is all of these are like, I mean, up until like this year, they're all dry, all the comedy venues for improv, and I'm like, who wants to watch this without drinking? What's going on?
I've had buddies visit who used to see shows in Chicago and in Detroit, and we'd come to the theater like in here, like Second City.
Yeah,
and where's the bar?
Yeah,
there is no bar.
No, you're supposed to be completely like Mormon sober and like sit there and have like,
which I don't get.
I can't figure it out.
Yeah,
because it's like, you know, the Herald is like, it's great, but also like, you do need to open your mind a little bit to even sort of get to the point where it's entertaining, I feel like.
Yeah. And nothing like 6 MGDs to get you in that frame of mind.
And a frozen pizza.
And oh yeah, those frozen pizzas were so good.
Yeah.
They don't do that. I don't know if you were, the old I.O. used to do that, right?
Yeah.
This is such a nerd.
Right before they closed, I moved like, so all my shows were in the old I.O., but I haven't been to the new one yet.
Oh, Comedy High School?
Yeah. What was it? What is it?
It's a huge, it looks like a high school.
Really?
It's gigantic. Yeah. That was the best part of going to the downstairs theater.
Yeah. Well, it's tiny and it's like playing shows there was so electric because you're like in it. Like, mm-hmm. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, it's like an old school cabaret theater, like really low ceilings, and it has a three-quarter like thrust stage, so you're like out in the audience and like it's not very high, so like when you're performing, people's knees are like at your feet level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're almost touching each other, and it's just, and it's packed, you know, like they used to just pack people in standing room and stuff.
That way, that funky little cove.
Yeah, the cove
where you couldn't really see anything.
Yeah.
Again, we're in LA now, and you've been here for
five and a half years. Yeah.
And you said something to me that made me feel very good.
What is that?
That it takes like 2 years to get used to being out here.
To stop crying in the bathroom? Yeah.
I thought, like, I got real cocky and said, like, the oh shit, what have I done feeling's gone away. It hasn't gone away.
No, you're good. It's going to be like, it's just really weird and it's hard. Mm-hmm. Everybody says it and it totally is. Find your people. That's like a really good, I think Jet, I don't know Jet Evelith very well, but when I first moved out here, that's her advice to me. And I was like, I found it to be really, really true, is like you find a couple groups of people, there are pockets of wonderful people everywhere who are all just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And like all of us, like I was dealing with an issue with like a manager thing, and I was just texting different groups of people who love me and have tons of advice and like are really helpful. Right. And it's like you find them and we all kind of help each other in this really great way.
I was lucky because I have a lot of like Detroit friends out here. Did you have a lot of people out here when you came out?
No,
no,
I didn't. No, I, I think when I left Chicago really feeling like I just needed a reset. Mm-hmm. And I think like, so I didn't hold on to a lot of people, I think, when I came. And I kind of felt like, I think like part of it too is for me, I was like, I just need to, I wanted to meet people, like start a new kind of chapter. Mm-hmm. So I love all the people that I still love from Chicago, but most of the people I hang out with now, I met Ryan Count's House, who's helping us produce this right now.
Look at him.
With his sitting headphones, right there. He's so cute. Like Ryan's one of the people, like you come out here, I met him like super randomly for a friend of a friend. They asked me into a practice group. I showed up at his apartment and he was just like, it was this old school bachelor bed. With all these dudes and this really like nasty shag carpeting was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And then I won't tell this whole story, but I think it's pretty funny.
Oh, you're that guy. My friend Liz Royce has a great joke about how like in college it was five dudes living together and only one towel in the bathroom.
Yeah. It was just like, it was pretty hilarious. But we used to play together and then like, you know, he's like, hey, come do this show with me. And you do that show and then you meet a few more people. And then like, I ended up just... through a friend of a friend hearing about an audition and like got onto this, like this team that I play with now, Quick and Funny Musicals at UCB. And they're like a family to me, you know? Yeah. And like, I've been with them for 4 years and it's just like, and like Ryan and I, you know, Ryan's, you know, one of my closest friends out here. I sang at his wedding.
You did? Did you really?
Wrote. Yes.
You wrote a song at the wedding?
He wrote a song and he sang it. Oh. And he's not a singer, but he did a great job. It was so good. We sang the backup vocals. So, you know, find
that's
people.
Adorable. Yeah. I got old watered down Ryan now that he's got a baby.
He's got a baby. Oh, tater tot.
I'm finding, too, that there are a lot of fun things to do out here. You just have you have to navigate and find it. Like, what do you do for fun that's kind of just for you, which I know sounds kind of corny, but
I'm gonna say I don't drive.
Good for you.
I've never had a driver's license.
Don't need it.
And so Nick, like, and I, my husband, I've been together for like, I don't know, almost 15 years. We went to high school together. We like knew each other for a long time. And we're really good at sharing labor. So if he has to drive me, then I, like, we are good at like kind of splitting up the jobs. So like right now, like he'll drive me to my audition today. Yeah. But like, I, you know, like I take care of, you know, like we kind of just bounce back and forth and try to help each other. And we kind of think all boats rise together. So I've got to get to the audition somewhere, like somehow. And we have one car and, you know, whatever. So, so I actually felt pretty isolated out here. And that was part of what made it hard is like, cause you can't drive. And everything is so spread out and you're broke. So you want to like stay in your house, which leads to like just like gaining 20 pounds the first year.
I can eat a lot of frozen pizza.
That's what I just did last night.
Did you really?
I had a home run in and it was freaking delicious. You can find them at Sprouts. But I do think like, so I've been trying to find a balance in terms of that. Like too much apartment time is like too much.
Yeah.
But hiking is actually really cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would, but I love it.
Yeah. It's like, and I think it really helps you find the heartbeat of like the seasons, you know, because if you're just kind of like driving and like whatever, it just feels like it's all the same all the time.
Yeah.
But if you really do get up in the canyon and move around and you try different spots that have like more like native, like plants and animals, like you really do see like these drastic changes throughout the quarters, you know, like there's a fall, there's a winter, there's a spring and there's a summer. And it's like, it's not the same as like fireflies in the summer and like snow at Christmas, you know, it's not the same as that.
Right.
You know,
where's home for you originally?
Seattle.
Oh, okay.
So I'm used to kind of this year round thing,
yeah,
you know, but I miss the rain. Yeah.
I just got back from Detroit. And it's just turning fall there now.
Yeah.
And it's the best.
Yeah.
Sleeping with the windows open, freezing a little bit at night, but it was so good.
Because I grew up in Seattle, it's like always rainy and kind of cloudy most of the time, but I love it. I think it's so beautiful. But
Seattle's great.
Like the seasons were always really romantic to me, like in Chicago when you got the fall leaves, because we don't have those. We have pine trees kind of.
Right.
Like it's not, but like having all that, the snow and like all of that kind of stuff until it wasn't. And I was like, if I have to live through another polar vortex, I'm jumping out the window.
Right.
Never again.
I got caught in a polar vortex on a platform with no coat for like 40 minutes one winter. And I, because I run hot. So foolishly, I went out without a coat. And I won't do that again.
Well, Nick and I grew up with no blizzards. I don't know if you remember. There's a blizzard in like 2011 or something like that. Like right in there, like a big one.
Was that the one with the cars on Lakeshore?
Yeah.
I was on a Second City cruise ship.
Oh, you missed it.
So I missed it.
It was, so we're so dumb. We just got really stoned and went out in the blizzard because we were like, let's experience nature. And we walked out and like, you're literally like, it's nobody's out.
Yeah.
It's pitch black. And the wind is going so hard that you can lean with your full weight forward and be upright.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wind props you up and just like snow. It's like white out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we hear all of the storm windows popping out of the high rise apartments.
Oh shit.
And crashing down around us. Cause I hear this pop. And then this breaking glass. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And we're like walking around. And I just realized we're walking through all these apartment buildings amidst like shrapnel. Right. And we like ran home. Like
that always freaked me out when I was walking around on Michigan right by the Hancock.
Yeah.
And there's that sign that says, beware of falling icicles.
Yeah.
Falling ice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Morbidly, I thought it would have been cool to see it happen to somebody else. But not me.
I would be like, I was really cautious about that. Those signs I take like really seriously.
I didn't get scared until I saw the sign.
Really?
Yeah, no, I didn't even think about it.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never even crossed my mind.
I saw the sign and I was like, well, this, I don't even know. We should be evacuating the streets. Call the police. Why are we doing this? Right. Why is it just a sign?
Right.
It's like you might die. It's
I feel like you should do something a little better to protect us.
I was like, the sign doesn't do anything.
No.
No. I know. I agree.
And then there was that one year when that one kid fell down the old water tower.
I know. That was the year after I moved.
Oh, really? That was sad.
Yeah, that was super sad. It was like, I don't know. It's just like you think about like literally all we did when we moved out there was just do dumb shit like that. Like,
yeah.
Like literally drink on rooftops. That's mm-hmm. the most fun thing.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of balconies in Chicago.
Yeah. And like balconies on old apartments that uh-huh. are like rickety, you know, too many people. Like, I mean, it was just like we weren't incredibly safety conscious.
No, I can't believe the amount of stupid shit I would do after the bar. Like I used to bike with no helmet in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know, maybe that's not a big thing, but the amount of people that I knew that got doored in Chicago, like it never happened to me. And I was drunk with no helmet on, you know, in the middle of the night.
Yeah. We were just drinking. I mean, I never got mugged. Like I used to just, I was like, I think what I did was I didn't have a smartphone until like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a phone and I didn't listen to music. So I think that helps a lot in terms of muggings. I don't know.
I think you're right.
But I was out all the time, completely alone. Like I would play shows at IO. Like sometimes I'd do the, you know, like on Saturdays, I'd walk home like 2.5 miles kind of drunk.
Yeah.
Completely alone at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know. If people would kind of, like, that did happen that people would watch, you know, follow you and stuff. You just turn around and go like, hey.
Yeah, if you're just louder than they are.
I do. I'm just like, I'd be talking on the phone and be like, some guy's following me. Just like walks away.
I think one of the things that helped me, because I used to take I used to work at the Rock Bottom Brewery.
Yeah.
On Grand and State
did
downtown.
Did you know Aaron, he did Bye Bye Liver.
Aaron.
Did you ever, you know, that show at, it was at the old, anyway, he was a bartender there, but I don't know.
Maybe I'm sure I probably did.
That's funny.
But I used to, so the thing in there is like, it's any bar, especially in the city that the bars don't open or don't close till 4.
Yeah.
Once you get to know the bartenders, it's a totally different experience.
It's nuts.
Yeah. So I used to take the Red Line home.
Yeah.
That from downtown to like my neighborhood in Lakeview.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that helped me, I don't want to say saved me, but helped me was that I befriended like the hobos that were down there singing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I befriended those guys and would hang out with them for a little bit waiting for a train. And I think that cut me some slack.
I worked at Bin 36.
Oh.
I did the same thing. Uh-huh. Took the Red Line home and I lived in Lakeview. So we were like, we were just constantly, oh no.
I just got coffee on my shirt. It's a white shirt too. Do you hear the OK symbols now, like a white supremacist thing?
It always has been.
Has it really?
Yeah, but it's different. It's not OK. It's like more spread out. It's the W.
Oh, so it's not this?
Well, I mean, it's been assigned for a long time.
Has it really?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's a W for white power.
Oh man.
Yeah, but it's like, they kind of do it differently. Like they hold it. I think that they do it. It's kind of like, you can tell that they're not like, okay, right?
Like, hey, you're doing great.
It's like that thing where somebody puts their hand down and then you see the circle and you get to punch them.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when they do it, you can tell they're basically like, hey, check this out.
That, yeah, that for my juvenile friends in junior high, that was all, it was this. And yeah. It also meant that you were gay
yeah.
because you were looking at somebody's dick.
Oh, that's the origin story.
So you got punched and you were gay.
Okay, great. Very classic.
Yeah.
Classic middle school circa 1996.
I don't know if I've told this before or not, but my freshman year of high school, I was like, I was super nervous. It's your first year of high school.
Yeah.
So I go in the bathroom and I'm in the urinal and one of the upperclassmen comes walking out. I don't know who this kid was. I still don't, but he's going to the one to the left of me or whatever. And he goes, in the middle of this, he goes, hey, don't use the middle stall. That means you're gay. And then walked away. What?
Oh, I wonder if he's. Somebody told him that.
I don't know.
Years before. And he was always like, I'm going to help these freshmen the way that I was helped when I was a freshman.
He wasn't doing it to be mean.
No.
He was like trying to like to legitimately help me out.
It's like, let me tell you the wisdom I inherited like, from my elders.
That's the best that you have? I mean, thanks for sharing that, but.
Nightmare.
What? You couldn't tell me like what good cafeteria days were?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Girls were definitely. I don't know. We were just so mean. I was very cool. I sewed my own pants as a freshman.
Your own pants?
I sewed my own pants.
Oh, yeah.
And like my crowning achievement, I was like really great. I won like a district award like for acting. I was like a great like superstar like little kid. But I was just so tragically like just... I was like practically like a homeschool kid. Like I don't know what happened that I just couldn't handle being cool on any level.
Yeah.
So I was just like enthusiastic. We won. There was a talent show. This was like my Napoleon Dynamite moment.
Okay.
There was a talent show and me and this other super nerdy kid, I choreographed this super elaborate two-person dance to I Will Survive. And then I sewed us bell-bottom pants that had like kind of the circle, like the, it's like a wire hanger and then the bottom is fabric. So like, so the whole pants is also the shoe.
Okay.
So when you're dancing, like it's like whatever, it's like structured.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, so it's an oldie, it's like Gloria Gaynor, I sewed my own pants, and it's just two of us. So we were up against the entire cheerleader and like all the cool kids from the football team did Wu-Tang Clan.
Of course.
And the lip sync for Wu-Tang Clan. I think it was a lip sync contest. And it was like maybe 10 of them and all the girls were doing like backflips and the dudes were like rapping like Wu-Tang.
Oh my God.
And then we went up and did I Will Survive and we won.
Did you really? That's great.
And everybody hated us. They were just like, because they spent so much money on like costumes and like lights and like flips.
Yeah. It's substance. It's the substance of what the performance was. It wasn't about the flash.
That's right. Also, that teachers were judging it as students.
Yeah. If you can befriend the drama teacher, you're good to go.
Ooh, that's my bread and butter.
My drama teacher in high school had a property up north in Michigan by my family's.
Oh.
So I was out and about like playing on a dirt bike or something one day and I came across her and I was like, hey.
Was it like horrifying or great?
No, it was great.
It was great. I loved her.
She was super cool. By far one of the better teachers that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was great.
Yeah. I feel like my school personality and my home personality were so different that I would just be like.
Oh, really? Yeah. Which one was more outgoing, home or at school?
School for sure.
School?
I was just like kind of, I felt like for some reason you walk in and you're just like, hi, everybody.
Right.
And at home, I'm like, don't touch my stuff.
Don't look at me. Don't touch my... I'm still like that with some of my stuff.
Yeah, me too.
It's my Xbox. Don't touch it. Muriel, I would love to keep talking about this. I would love to keep spilling more shit on my clothes. But,
oh, no, you look great.
Well, thank you. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to May. Hey neighbors, Adam and Nate here to talk to you about Patreon. Now, this podcast is possible due to our Patreon patrons, and you can become one by going to patreon.com/mynamesaredead.
Supporting the show on Patreon's easy. You pay what you can, and in return, you get My Neighbors Are Dead merch, behind-the-scenes info on how we make the show, a shout-out on future episodes, and more.
You may be wondering what we use this money for. Well, we use it for things like production costs, website hosting, traveling for the show, and our monthly meds. We are both severely medicated.
Sad but true. Now, podcasting isn't cheap, and we appreciate any help you can give. If you'd like to see how you can help out the show, go to patreon.com/mynamesaredead.
Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
This is so great. Mm-hmm. I love history and I want to hear more about your story. Did you find the place okay?
I found it fine.
Great.
Yeah. My horse has a very strong sense of direction. I just let her kind of go, follow her where she goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to May.
Mm-hmm.
From Sierra Nevada.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you. I've heard too, May, that if you have a strong bond with your horse, is that true? Can you bond with your horse?
Yeah. Out there, if you don't bond with your horse, you die.
Yeah.
Yeah. You die in the snow.
Yeah, it gets cold, right?
You have no idea how cold it gets. I've seen generations of families die.
Wow. Generations, yeah. Huh?
Generations wiped out.
That's a lot of people to watch die. That's got to affect you, I imagine, in some way, shape, or form, huh?
It's all a part of the life out here in the mountains.
Well, what's that like living in the mountains? Because I don't know what that's. I mean, I'm a city dweller. So what is it like to be in the mountains?
Quiet. Cold.
Yeah.
Harsh. Lots of life and death, boring.
Oh, I'd imagine so. Are you up there by yourself?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I've been out there by myself for 60 to 65 years.
What took you to the mountains? I mean, that's a long time to be alone.
I was born out there. Yeah, no choice in that for me.
No.
Yeah.
So you're 67 years young. What, if you don't mind my asking, what happened to your family?
My family?
Yeah.
I was an only child, and my father, God rest his soul, he died in a river when I was about 15. Mother ran off. So a lot of my life has been survival. I've gone through two horses.
In 67 years, you've been through two horses?
Yeah, just two.
I didn't think horses lived that long. Mm.
Yeah, if you take good care of them. 35 years of peace. That's what I heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm. It was great. It's been great.
So, and you, I mean, this, I don't know how this is a touchy subject for you at all, but you are sort of adjacent to Fort Spencer.
Yeah. I just can't. The antics that go on over there.
Yeah. It seems pretty, nefarious.
Yeah. Nefarious. Idiotic. That's what I would call it.
Yeah.
I watched that fort turn over 3 or 4 times just with people not being able to survive.
Wow. It's a harsh winter.
All you have to do is use your mind. It's like these guys, no survival skills whatsoever.
I mean, it seems like they kind of turned pretty quick to, for those who don't know, it's cannibalism.
Yeah.
It seems if that's a pretty far extreme to go to.
Not out in the mountains.
No?
I've seen it before. It's always like in the back of your mind.
Does it go through your mind?
Of course. Every day.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think about I've been alone for so long, it's less of an option for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would admit you'd have to eat yourself.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Sometimes I've thought about if you eat parts of yourself, can you stay alive?
That's a great question.
Yeah. And I feel like, I haven't tried it yet, but I might.
Well, I don't want to see anything bad happen to you, but I think that's a great existential question. If you eat part of yourself, do you still survive?
You spend a lot of time in that existential zone when you're out in the mountains.
Yeah.
It really is a lot of like, make the porridge. What do you do with your life? Why are we here? Walk the dog like that.
Oh,
just like tasks and then thinking.
I think it's fun. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that when you have these big, profound thoughts, it's still, you know, everyday mundane tasks.
Keep you anchored. Keep you still from eating your own hand. Yeah.
Yes. I can't tell you how many times I thought about eating my own hand.
Yeah. Oh, how many problems it would solve.
So many problems. May, what do you think some of the things are you miss the most about being around other people?
Oh, God. I guess for me, it's not having to do everything yourself constantly.
Yeah.
Because you get to the point where if you make your own oatmeal and then you eat it out of a bowl and then you have to wash the bowl in the pot, it's kind of like, what's the point of this? Like, eat it out of the pot. Or why even make the oatmeal? Just eat the oats. The horses eat the oats. I could do that. It's so much work to sustain yourself.
It seems like those are sort of like modern day conveniences, adding water to the oats and then boiling them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I think you're right. You could just eat the oats raw.
You could eat the oats raw and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about companionship? Mm. Is that something that you know, maybe desire, that you might miss? Or
I have a deep distrust for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a fundamental part of, I think, why I've survived this long. I don't let people into my house. I don't answer the door.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think that comes from, well, survival. I mean, I watch the downfall of everyone around me is from opening the door and talking to the person. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Fundamentally, like, even like physically, that could be somebody who's trying to murder you. And also, just kind of like existentially, it's like you can get married and that person just wears you down until you die.
Yeah.
Same outcome.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think that's a good lesson in life, is that, you know, everybody is potentially going to murder you.
Yeah. Oh, now you're speaking my language.
There's a part of me that I'm sort of jealous of that, because I kind of wish that I could just go away and be on my own for a while.
Yeah.
Although I don't want to eat anybody else.
Well,
that I know of.
Yeah, that you know of. That's part of the reason why it's important to isolate yourself. You don't really know what you'd do, you know?
Yeah, you don't really know what you would do.
No.
How did the Mexican-American War, how did that impact you, or did it impact you at all?
I watched it happen. So, you know, that was something that colored my life for a while.
Yeah.
My house is my house. No one took my house. So
that's a bonus.
Yeah.
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 War is it's tough.
It's tough. But also, it's just idiotic.
Yeah.
You know, like, you watch people, it's like, oh, he's a sergeant. Now he's a captain. Oh, now he's, you know, it's just like, what is this? What's your rank that you're bestowed upon?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you're talking about the ranking system in the military.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I mean, everybody sort of seems like we should just be on an even playing field.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm my own captain. I'm my own sergeant. I am alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about maybe making your way over to Fort Spencer for maybe provisions, or just a conversation with somebody?
I went over there for some spying. I went over there for some information.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to watch the thing unfold, you know, so I did spend some time on the other side of the fence looking over.
Yeah.
And I, from what I saw, I just figured it'd be better to be a silent observer than, you know, a participant.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Very voyeuristic. Yeah.
Yeah. Very voyeuristic.
Yeah.
Very. That is my bread and butter. I love it. Watching.
I like that, because you get to enjoy something without having to take part in it.
It's completely true. If I talk to them, maybe I'd feel bad about what happens to them, right?
Right.
If I talk to them, I get involved with the whole thing. If you watch it, it's much more enjoyable to just kind of say, like, you know, the world plays out upon the stage and then you go back to your own house.
Right.
And shut your door and you lock it.
What are your thoughts on something that I found very fascinating that was taking place there? What about the Wendigo myth?
Not a myth.
Not a myth?
No, no.
Really?
No.
Not a myth.
Not a myth. If you live where I live, if you live high in the Sierra Nevadas,
yeah,
you understand that that's not a myth.
That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever come across a Wendigo?
Yeah, I've seen thousands. Thousands.
Thousands of them up there?
Yeah, and you can hear them.
What do they do?
Most of the time they try to act like they're fine and they're normal people. That's the whole thing, right? But you know, minute you see them, they're out there, they're digging in the dirt with their hands, they're all of a sudden got the supernatural powers, they can survive. You know, you watch, it's like if you look out there, you see somebody healthy who's knocking on your door. Oh, hello, man. How are you? Oh, I seem to have some trouble with my wagon, and they're fine.
Right.
You know that they're a Wendigo.
Yeah.
Nobody's up here and doing okay. They're not alive. I mean, they shouldn't be alive. I'm alive.
Well, you have very excellent survival skills.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about maybe abandoning the isolation lifestyle in the mountains and maybe making your way to a town or a city to, I don't know, reincorporate back into civilization?
I thought about it. I think about it. Sometimes I just feel like there's just no going back once you've really committed to being out here.
Yeah.
I think about it. I guess I feel like it would be nice to go somewhere like a restaurant and sit and have someone give you something to eat and that you didn't have to make yourself.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like I miss things like I'm not a good cook, you know?
I mean, oatmeal's pretty easy.
Oatmeal's easy and that's all I eat.
Just oatmeal?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I don't ever want to push my agenda on anybody, but where I come from, we have this great restaurant called Applebee's.
Well, tell me more. Applebee's could, apple and a bee?
No, it's just a clever name.
A clever name.
I don't know where it comes from, but it's like you can get anything you want there.
Okay, tell me more.
You can get like a salad.
What?
You can get like chicken fingers.
What on earth are you talking about? Chicken finger? You tell me now. Tell me now what? How skinny and how many bones?
Well,
tell me how many bones. Because that seems...
Here's the thing, man. What? There's no bones.
How?
It's just a clever name. It's not a finger. It's just a piece of chicken.
Okay. What do you think clever means? Because to me, I just feel like these are made up names.
No.
Clever?
I think they're clever.
They think they're clever? Oh, it's funny because chickens don't have fingers? All right. I'll take it.
I mean, you can get all kinds of stuff there.
You're tempting me.
I tell you what, if you and I ever get to go to where I'm from, I'll treat you to a meal at Applebee's.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. I would love it. It's my favorite restaurant.
If I showed up at your doorstep, you'd open the door for me?
You
would?
I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't think you were a Wendigo.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just going to give you a piece of advice.
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
So I should just be instantly distrustful of anybody who shows up at my door?
If I showed up at your door and I said, take me to Applebee's, you're dead. I'm just trying to help you.
No, I appreciate it. I guess I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
I think I'm letting my love of Applebee's skew my...
You know what happens when a Wendigo eats another person?
What's that?
They take on their like powerful properties. So if I ate you... I would be this like very sweet, happy person, right?
I mean,
so think about unleashing that on the world. I would be a Wendigo, real sweet, happy. Oh, do you want to come to Applebee's? Come to my house anytime.
Yeah.
I just set up shop. It would be massacre. People would always want to come to my house because I'm so sweet.
Yeah. And then I guess it's just a green light for you to start killing people.
Yeah. And what?
Eating them.
Yeah.
Eating them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to steer you away from cannibalism because I never tried it. I've never tried cannibalism, but I just feel like there's got to be a more, you know, it's got to be an easier way.
It feels pretty easy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is like nothing worth anything is easy, right?
That's.
It's kind of true. Huh?
Yeah. No, you're right. Nothing worth anything is easy.
No, it's not easy. You know? And have you ever been walking around and you see some man and he's got a beautiful hat and you said, man, I wish I could have that hat. And there's no way you can get it. Let's say you have no money. No way. Imagine you eat that guy, you get the hat. You get everything good about that guy. I think it's
You know what? The way you just described it right now, I think I might be into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I might be.
And there's lots of ways to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can be violent and crazy. You know, but other people make a stew. That happens.
Yeah.
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 You don't have to not cook it. You don't have to like be like you could literally, you know, I've thought about this a lot, clearly. Yeah. And I think like the thing is it's not that complicated. It feels like you couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, this is more about where I'm from, but I like basketball.
Mm. Oh.
And I think if I killed and ate LeBron James and if I could play like him, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
And also, I'm thinking too, living alone in the mountains after I do all this stuff might not be the worst idea.
Yeah. Because no one can find you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
I like this.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at how open I am to this and how quickly I am.
Well, it's weird. It's like when you get outside of the constructs of like Applebee's and the world and the city and the, you know, movie theater, whatever it is, right? And you get out into the mountains, very few things actually matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Life, death.
Horses.
Horses, oats, nothing.
Well, what I'm taking away from this is thumbs down to war.
Yeah, okay, yeah, definitely. Thumbs down to war for many reasons.
Yeah, but maybe thumbs up to cannibalism.
Yeah, because it solves all your problems. Can you imagine killing someone, right, and not taking their powers?
It sort of seems like a waste.
Yeah, like a huge waste. It's just like killing a deer for antlers and not taking the rest of the deer.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're killing it, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've given me a lot to think about, May.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm really glad we got a chance to talk.
You've given me a lot to think about.
And also, I didn't know horses lived for 35 years. Yeah. So that's,
Yeah.
I might have to get a horse.
Yeah, but you have to be prepared. Strap in for a wild ride.
What's the craziest thing about owning a horse?
The craziest thing about owning a horse is definitely how intelligent they are. Because you think they don't understand what you're talking about, but they do. And that can get really strange.
Are you distrustful of your two horses?
I'm not distrustful. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, May, I really admire you. I admire your whole outlook on life and your go get 'em attitude. That's great.
I appreciate you. I want to see the same thing for you. And you know, Adam, I might just come to your doorstep because I feel like you have a lot to teach me and a lot to give to me.
Well, I got a pretty good feeling that you're going to try to kill me if I let you in, but I like you so much, I might do it.
That's part of my charm.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see. Well, May, thank you so much. Have a safe trip back to the mountains.
Thank you, Adam.
My pleasure.
Yeah,
thank you
come
for
over
coming by.
Anytime.
I would love to.
Okay, great.
Thanks for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show was produced by myself and Nate Dufort, with editing done by Nate Dufort. Original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. Our artwork was done by Mark Nishan. May was played by Muriel Montgomery. You can check out Muriel in our podcast, Hell in Your 30s, and at the UCB in Los Angeles with the Quick and Funny Musicals. If you'd like to support My Neighbors Are Dead while getting unique swag and a look behind the scenes of how we make the show, go to patreon.com/mynabersaredead. No amount is too small, and every bit helps. If you have yet to rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow, and it helps new neighbors find the show. And you can find us on Facebook and at Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hello.
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 Check out our new podcast,
Barely Composed,
with us,
Femini Trio.
Each week, we write a brand new comedic song with one of our funny friends.
Listen and subscribe to Barely Composed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media.
Campfire.